And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, my dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
I invite you to turn with me to the back of the New Testament. Here on Mother's Day, to 2 John, the little epistle of 2 John. You go to the book of Revelation and turn just a little bit to the left. You'll find the first, second, and third letters of John, known as the epistles of John. By the way, if you didn't know this, I realize we have some new Christians. 2 John was written by John the Apostle. John, one of the sons of thunder. John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, went on record saying in his holy script that he loved. This was a man after God's own heart. Only 13 short verses here in the second epistle of John. This John not only wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. What else did he write, class? He wrote the Gospel of John. Remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? That's the same John. As inspired by God, he wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He also wrote a book of eschatology, looking to the future. What book would that be, friends? revelation. So this John was gifted of God. He has something for you today from the second epistle of John. Now look at this way. Perhaps your mother was like my mother, and she would say something like this at lunch and or at dinner especially. You don't have to like it, but you have to at least try it. Or at least eat it here. You might not like it, but you're at least going to try it. Dear friends, in my estimation, 90% of the pastors around America today that are having Mother Day services are going to be on a restricted menu. It's either going to come from 1 Samuel, which we just heard about, and the baby dedication, the child dedication ceremony here, of Hannah crying out to God for a child. So many ministers, and I've done the same. You run to 1 Samuel, and all the women go, oh, I can relate to this. And the men can as well. And all the Samuel, all the boys here, they say, I want to aspire to be like this man of God. So all the men in the churches today, pastors, about 90% of them, they'll be using 1 Samuel. If not, they're going to run to the book of Proverbs. They're going to find a virtuous woman there. That's what Virginia Smith asked me to read while she's in a hospital bed yesterday in Beckley. She said, Pastor, I know you are planting something special for the ladies of the church. When she said, lady, I had a Holy Ghost experience then and there in that room. I said, why didn't you use the word woman? Watch this. She said, because I've always aspired in my life to be a dignified lady of the Lord. You're going to see that in the first verse here in 2 John. We'll be talking about what it means to be a godly woman as well as a godly lady. So here we go. 1 Samuel is where most preachers run. Or to go to Proverbs 31, this virtuous, this industrious woman who puts her hand to the spindle, who works hard, who loves her children, takes care of her home, her house, her family, and her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband loves her, and everybody claps, say, yay! So you have 1 Samuel, you have Proverbs, but then over here in the New Testament, you also have 2 Timothy. You find a grandmother and a mother, Lois and Eunice, and they brought young Timothy up, just like these parents did today, here in the understanding who Almighty God was. So you can't go wrong with this. That's sort of the trifecta of Mother's Day messages. I didn't ask God for anything new under the sun, but He told me you're not going to be sharing today in our short amount of time together, 1 Samuel, or Proverbs 31, or even 2 Timothy. No, I want you to go to 2 John. So with our time remaining, I invite you to notice with me the title for today's message, The Mother Knows Best. Now, ladies, if you agree with that, say amen. Mothers know best. We find here in 2 John, only 13 short verses. The elder, this is John the apostle, who also was a pastor of church, of this church, if not other churches. So this word elder is presbyteros. Listen to it. This elder is presbyteros in the Greek language. What does that sound like? Presbyterian. So the Presbyterian denomination, that's where they get their title from. This word, the elect, the presbyteros. He said, me, this elder, writing to this chosen lady, the elect lady, foreordained of God, this lady and her children. And John went on record saying, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all that they have known in the truth. Everyone say truth. Notice how many times the word truth is used. He said, I love you in truth. Others know the truth. And notice what he says, dear women, mothers of God. Here we go. Mothers of your children here today, for the truth's sake, for goodness sake, in verse 2, which dwells in us, dwells in you, mothers who know best, and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace, in verse 3, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Here again, he's saying over and over and over again, mothers, this is important that we give our children the truth. Can I get an amen? The truth. He said, I rejoice greatly. I love verse number 4. You might want to underline in your Bible. John's saying to this elect lady, this chosen woman, the special ordained woman of God, I rejoice greatly that I found of your children. Yes, some were walking in what? Truth. There it is again. In truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you, dear lady, woman of God, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we do what, friends? We love one another. And this is a love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you yourself should also walk in it. We're going to stop right there for sake of time. Verse 7 through 13 just echoes this. You know the truth. Walk in it. Examine your hearts and make sure what you're passing down to the next generation, women of God, is the truth. It's not a preference. It's not a choice. It's a commandment of God. Let's pray about that right now, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that we just read here today, that there are women who want to walk in accordance with your word, who want to pass that down to their generation and those below them, their children and their children's children's children. So Almighty God, please help us as we study this out today and leave this place charged up, on fire for you, knowing we have a great responsibility and a duty to continue passing down the truths of the Holy Bible to our children, and yes, even their friends. We pray this in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Everyone said together, amen. I want you to notice with me on the overhead, if you haven't already had a chance to fill out the blanks down here, that this lady was an exceptional Christian model, mother, and mentor. Let me point it out again. This lady was exceptional. Yes, as being a Christian model, mother, and mentor. She honored her biblical calling, that's the word for election, chosen calling, by not only seeing her children as God did, but also taught them the Holy Scriptures as He did what, class? As He commanded. Wow. Now some people see this book, and I don't have time really to exegete all the truths in this. Some people see the elect lady down here being the church. And her children would be the offspring, those who were saved, adopted into God's family. For today's study, and I certainly believe as well, I believe this was a literal woman. I believe this was a woman who did honor God in her life. And she also honored God by passing her faith down to her children. You can see this here in verse number 4 and other places making reference to her family, her sister, her children, and others. This was a woman of God. Now question, how many of you ladies like to knit or crochet? Go ahead and raise your hand. Just a few. It's a lost art, isn't it? Okay, we'll be talking a little bit about that today. Well, if you allow me to do so in a short order, I'm going to knit together a little theology. Theos means God. Logia means the study of. So when someone says, are you a theologian? You could say, yes. It doesn't mean you know everything about the Bible, but theos is what? God. Logia is a student of, the study of. So I'm a theologian. I study about God. Well, I'm going to mix a little theology with mama-ology. Can I say that? Mama. So I'm going to weave it together like you would knit, like you would crochet a little theology, truths from God's holy word, with mama-ology. So I'm going to give you some mama wisdom here. Find some place to write some things down. Number one, write this down. Ladies, men, boys, and girls alike, the word truth. Here's the truth. We've seen it over and over and over again. One word we're going to extract from today's portion of Scripture. The truth. How many of you believe your parents should always tell you the truth? And you as parents should pass that down to your children as well. Yes. Well, let me tell you. In today's time, number one principle, number one mother theology, mama-ology, teach your children everyone doesn't get a trophy. Listen, I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be anti-establishment. I'm not trying to be politically unrest. Everyone doesn't get a trophy. Well, you know, maybe you're a better athlete, my son. You're not following me on this. I'm talking about theology. It has nothing to do with sports. You know what I see more and more and more and more and more and more and more in ministry today? You have preachers standing behind a holy lectern, supposedly taking the holy word of God, and says, everyone gets a trophy. It doesn't matter if you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth. Everyone say truth. Truth and the life. Preachers standing here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, other times, and telling moms and dads and boys and girls, don't worry about it. Our God is a God of love. You will get to heaven whether you trusted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter. When you get to heaven, everyone gets a trophy. Can I tell you, that's from the pits of hell. That is a deceiver. You can find this here in verse number 7 and 8. Deceivers coming and saying, change the simple gospel. You parents know this. We need to tell our children the truth. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Teach them at a young age, just like they did up here. Teach them from a young age how they can know Jesus Christ personally. They don't have to worry about being that sinner part condemned to hell. How they can be saved and redeemed and set apart into a good work. Our children need to understand this. Why? Because children die. Anybody read about another shooting in a school out west just a few days ago? Where'd that take place? Columbine? You read about that a few years ago? Don't you think we ought to be telling the children the truth? Mamaology, tell the children the truth. When your kids come home from school, and I was short and fat and freckle-faced, and I would come home, I'm quitting school. I'm in second grade. I'm quitting school. Why? Because they called me freckle-faced something other, and this name had all these nicknames for me and everything. And Mama said, oh, honey, you're beautiful. Now, Mom, don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. You're beautiful with your buck teeth and your freckle face and your fire engine red hair. You're beautiful. Mama, don't lie to me. You're beautiful in my eyes. Parents, you want to tell your children that? Huh? Rather than beating them down, build them up. Tell them the truth. Everyone say truth. Everyone doesn't get a trophy. You must take Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Mothers, women of God, if you believe that, how about shouting, amen? Amen. Tell your children this. They are special. Before you were formed in my womb, God knew you. You're special. He doesn't make any junk. You're perfect like you are. However, God says you must know Him. You must make this decision on your own. I can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. The pastor can't do it for you. But you can do this. Mama, you need to do this. The greatest quote I've heard in a long time, someone shared with me yesterday. Parents, number one priority ought to be getting their children into heaven and not Harvard. Ouch. Ouch. Think about that. We try so hard to make sure our children are successful in life. And apart from Jesus Christ, they can be successful and still die and go where, class? To hell. Mama, you want to give a gift back to your children? Tell them the truth. Look in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. The greatest truth is that God loves you. And He loved you so much He sent His Son, Jesus. Tell them the truth that Jesus said, I am this way, the direction. I am the truth. I'm the doctrine. You can trust this. A little mamaology. The truth. Son, you don't get a trophy for just being a participant on life. You got to make a decision. Number two, mamaology down here is, it does matter what kind of church you attend. Write that down someplace. It does matter what kind of church you attend. I hear people say this all the time. Someone just told me this week. Oh, it don't matter what kind of church you attend as long as you go. Ain't that right, preacher? I said, no. 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 If you're not going to a church that's giving you the truth, that's our key word for today. There's not a mama in here wouldn't say, stop it. Stop it. Make sure you give me and my children the truth. And that's one thing myself and other leaders here in this church, we do our very best to do is give everyone the truth. We have no right to change the gospel. We have no right to change the truth to tickling ears, just to please everyone. And there's churches all across America today. You just come for the big show. It doesn't matter what you believe. Everybody's going to get to go to heaven. Look in verse 7 and 8. What did John tell this young woman? Would go take place. Deceivers would be in the world. They would enter the world. No, no, no. We can't have deceivers in the pulpit. You know what I see more and more and more in the last 10 years, and I'm going to be finished here. In the last 10 years, families leaving doctrinally sound churches to go to another church just because they like the style of worship. It doesn't matter what they believe. Or if I have a conviction about something, it could be any subject. I'm going to be very kind here. We are pro-lifers here. We believe life begins at the moment of conception. And biblically speaking, even before that. Well, the preacher says something about pro-life, so I'm going to quit that church. I'm going to go to another church where they don't believe that. And that's what people do today. If you don't like what the preacher's saying, just go find another church that's going to fit your preferences. Not this. Is that truth? No, that's not truth. You and I should try very hard to be in a church that will give the children a chance. Everyone's not going to win without Jesus Christ. And we're not going to go to a church just because they have our style of worship or this force, whatever, if they're not giving us this. Now, this is a great time for the men of the church to say amen. I'm not picking a fight here. I'm just saying here on Mother's Day, this is huge. This is important. Entire family saying, I'm going to leave that faith. I'm going to go to something else. It doesn't even matter what they believe. But boy, we sure do feel good about ourselves. And so do deceivers. Mamas, you know better. When your child is sick, and you say you need to take medicine, the kids say, but it's going to taste bad. But it's good for you. It's good for you. Don't go play in the street. You're trying to restrict me. No, no, don't go play in the street. There's traffic out there. That traffic will hurt you, Joey. Don't go play in the street. We got a yard to play. Play back. Build boundaries. But some churches say, it doesn't matter what you believe doctrinally. Don't worry about it. God is love. It's all going to work out. No mother or father worth their salt would lie to their child about that. Stay in a gospel-believing, biblically sound church. Teach them how to pray, certainly. Teach them to love this book. My wife lit up this week. I know time is pressing, but she called me to Facebook, and I don't do Facebook, but she said, look, look, look what our grandchildren are doing. And it got real quiet in the house. So their mother, our daughter-in-law, said, uh-oh, what are the kids into? They were holed up in a corner reading books. 2 years of age and 4 years of age. Reading. Donna's mother instilled in her a love for reading. Her email address has been, ever since emails came out, book lover. She loves this book. She loves to read other books. But Donna's instilled in our grandchildren the love of reading. Oftentimes they would rather read than play on an iPad. They would rather read, Papa, Pops they call me, Pops, read me a book. We read the same books again. And they know what's on the next page. Turn the page and they'll finish it for me. They'd rather do that than watch television. That just doesn't happen. Teach them that the greatest teacher is history. We learned this last week. We learned this last week on Senior Sunday. The greatest teacher of all times is history. Watch this. Teach them this is history. His story. His story. Tell them this is a book telling his story. Make it exciting. Tell them it's a book, a hymn book, to be sung, H-Y-M-N. Many parts of this is a hymn book. So this book is not an average book. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant, infallible word. Teach them to love the Bible. It's a history book telling his story. It's a hymn book to be sung. It's also a hymn book, H-I-M, all about Jesus Christ. Tell them this is exciting and has stories in it, suspense, mystery, and revelation, pushing back, unveiling, looking to the future. Get your kids excited about prayer. Get your kids excited about the Bible. Get your kids excited about the students they go to school with. Anybody know how many students we have in the high school and middle school right outside of our window? Over 2,000. 2,000. Over 2,000 students. Here's a third mamaology. Teach your kids how to give back. Huh? Teach your kids how to give back. We live in a generation of entitlement. Not young people, even older people. Mamas, I see you teaching them. I saw one mother here sitting down with her granddaughter at the Awana banquet, and she said, "Now, when you sit at the table, you take that napkin you put on your lap. You know why you put that napkin on your lap? No, Mama. In case you spill something, honey, you won't get on your nice dress." Right. Teach the children how to still say, "Yes, ma'am," and "No, sir." How to be respectful. It's a lost art. Teach them how to write thank you cards. Whatever happened to that? You know what I'm offended with today in our text and blog and Twitter environment, in this whole world we live in? People don't return text. They don't return emails. You write somebody and say, "Listen, I want to let you know about this and that. You know, something's going on." Boom, 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 boom. You send it. It says delivered. You're wondering, did they get it? They can at least send back a K. They can at least send back saying, "Thank you." You don't know whether or not they even received it. I'm not talking about textual etiquette. I'm just talking about common manners. But teaching our children to give back to God, doesn't this bother anyone? I have a whole thing up here I was going to read from you from just came out this week out of Nashville. For the first time ever in 100 years, church membership is the lowest it's ever been. More people living on planet Earth than ever before. And yet, less people have joined the church. Teach your children to give back, to be involved. We talk about all the elderly people in the church. They're dying off. Who's going to replace them? Who's going to replace them? The younger generation. Parents, get your kids involved in the church to give back. When I was in youth ministry, and I'm not saying this is right, we had a president of our youth ministry. We had a vice president. We had a secretary. And they took ownership with this. We had an outing, or we had a retreat. We had camp. They helped make decisions. We had them on our staff as volunteers. You go call the next youth minister. You go call the next minister. I put it in our constitution, our operating bylaws. You want one upstanding student from the youth department to help make that decision. Why? Because this is their church. Parents, teach your kids. It's not all about you receiving. It's about you giving back. 2,000 students across the road. How many are in church today? Your kids can do this. We can do this. I'm going to invite you right now to watch the overhead in closing. I want you to see what's taking place in Venezuela. Many of the students don't know anything about it. I want you to see what the mission board is doing there and how we also can be a part. Go ahead and start the video, please.
Hello, Southern Baptists. At the midpoint of the bridge that I'm standing on now is the Venezuelan border. What you see are people flowing in and out of Venezuela, coming to Colombia, where they're able to get food that is not available at home, where they're able to get medical attention. Some are coming daily to attend school, as the schools have been closed just across the border. We're thankful the Southern Baptists are here ministering to the needs of people who are really in a very desperate situation. Had the opportunity to visit with several people on this bridge, and we've heard some heartbreaking stories. A school teacher who's also a grandmother, her school is closed. She's walking her daughter, her granddaughter, across the bridge every day to try to get some form of education for her. We've talked to a gentleman who's pushing for 12 hours a day, a wheelchair, back and forth across this bridge to transport those who are unable to walk the length of the bridge on their own. People are heartbroken. They are traumatized from the situation that they're facing. But thankfully, we've been able to pray with some, share the love of Christ, also see the very practical needs that our missionaries and Baptist Global Response are meeting here. Thank you, Southern Baptist, for making this ministry to people who are hurting possible.
And I know that's just one place where there's political and social and economic unrest. Most adults, you ask them, what's going on in Venezuela? They don't know. They don't know. We have missionaries who have been there, missionary friends have been there since the 50s. Their visas are being challenged now. They don't want them there. The government is just evil. They can't buy gasoline to go up and down the river to share the love of Jesus Christ, where they've been since the 50s from America. That's just one place. Mamas, daddies, women of God, men of God, we're going to close. Teach your children to love God, to love this book, His historbook. It's all about Him. Teach them to love and serve others. Don't be the receiving always. Mamas, one last thing. Do what my mother did. See your children as God sees them. Not what the world sees. See the potential of your children that God sees in them. Heaven over Harvard? I'll take that. Is there anything wrong with higher education? Of course not. That shouldn't be our goal. You know that. I know that. They can reach their friends more readily than a youth minister ever can. A senior pastor, certainly. Or even you. Rather than have an invitational call through an organ and piano, I'm going to invite you just to notice with me, once again on the overhead, some people that were touched by others because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Watch these baptisms all around the world as we close. Let's all stand, please. While the lights are up, we don't need to play music. I just need to close with God's invitation. Everything we've heard here today applies to us as well. God loves us. He sent His Son to die in our stead. That's the God's honest truth. Everyone say truth. That's the best we have to offer, and that's more than enough. I realize our time has expired here on Mother's Day. Action-packed. Thank you for being here. But the tragedy in all this would be if someone leaves, young or old, without Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. That's the real tragedy. The things we're investing in our children, we must believe in as well. Amen? It's very likely if the men are here are driving a Ford product, it's very likely your father drove a Ford product. Very likely. Things have changed a little bit. My sister got a bill to work on her car. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but a bill on her car, $1,600-some dollars. They had a laundry list this long. And when I went down for Easter, I brought my toolbox. Went in my dad's garage. From this time up, he had me working on vehicles. For $90, I did everything on her list. $90. I wasn't born with that. My father taught me that. Teach your children good music. Teach your children manners. Ladies, teach your children how to be a lady. Virginia Smith has said, I've always aspired to be a godly lady. Not just a woman, a lady. Isn't that good? But all these things are still not going to get us into heaven. Faith in Jesus. So bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to invite you where you're standing right now to trust Christ as Savior if you've never done it before. This is the God's honest truth. For God so loved the world, that's you, put your name there, that He gave His only begotten Son, King Jesus, that if you would believe in Him, when you die, you have eternal life with Him forever and ever and ever. If not, you don't get that trophy. You don't get that crown. And that, I'm not saying that to belittle anyone. I'm saying that to encourage you. I beseech you, please trust Christ as Savior. When I'm unsure how to pray, right now there in your heart of hearts where you're standing, say, Dear God, you can pray it right now. Dear God, You know me. You know me. And I want to know You as Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sin. Come to my heart. Come into my life and save me, redeem me. You pray that prayer right now in the moments I'm going to provide, God will save you. Thank you. Father, again, we will close this time of prayer while rejoicing with all the godly ladies in this room and many other places outside this room. We're not in competition with any other church. We're just about spreading the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see all come unto salvation, all boys and girls, all older siblings, all moms and dads to be saved. That's our heart's desire and prayer. Yes, here on Mother's Day. We thank You for the Virgin Mary, but she's not the one who can save us. But Jesus, who came through her, through the line and the tribe of Judah, the lineage of that, our kinsman redeemer was made perfect in the flesh among us. We believe it, we receive it, we accept it because He is the truth. We praise You as we leave this place in that same name, Jesus Christ, and all of God's children said, Amen.